you guys know what that sound means. It means it's a brand new episode of the Bid Nerds, your daily nerd out on the most interesting car of the day from all the auction sites online. My name is JP, coming to you from Las Vegas, along with my partner Michael Deeb in San Francisco. Hello, Michael Deeb. Are you ready for a big episode today?
Yes, JP. This is like a dream car. You and I would, you know, sell a left nut to have a car like this. This thing is bitching.
We've got some cool cars, but this one we'll get to the car in just a second. But first, we want to shout out to our good friends at Godden Classic, Godden Porsche of Las Vegas. They support the show, so we support them. Check out Godden Classic of Las Vegas. Hey, we need to reach out. We've been doing this a lot lately, but I'm going to keep saying thank you to the Nerd Herd and the Nerd Nation, our subscribers and fans that watch the show regularly. We see you commenting all the time. We see Ross and Chachi and Family Guy and Andrew and Michael G and Buddha and whoever the heck else I'm forgetting. I know I'm forgetting something. I hate, you know, like reaching out. I hate saying the names of our fans because I always forget people. Ray and there's multiple Michaels. There's Kevin. There's just all these guys that are commenting and watching regularly, and we love you guys, and we thank you so much. You guys are doing so much to help the channel grow. When you guys comment, it really does help the algorithm understand what's going on with the channel. And the thing about YouTube channels, you got to get to that 1,000 subscribers, and we're getting so close. So we're reaching out to you guys in the Nerd Herd to do us a solid, one more solid. We keep asking you. Find a Facebook group about a car that matches an episode of the Bid Nerd. So if we talk about a Toyota Supra, go find a Facebook group that talks about Toyota Supras and share our episode that talks about a Toyota Supra value. Same thing with a Nissan Z or a 911 or a pickup truck or something. Find an episode and match it to a Facebook group that talks about that type of car. We notice big, huge spikes in views when people do that. And a lot of you guys have been doing that. And we couldn't be more thankful for you guys helping out that way. When we do it, it doesn't quite work as much because it's like, okay, it's us trying to promote our own thing. But organically, when one of you guys share one of our videos on a Facebook group, it really does a huge spike. We noticed it on a 930 video recently that got like 5 times the views than our videos usually do. And we're like, why is this one so popular when all the other 930 videos don't get this many views? Why this one? And it was because someone shared it on one of those Facebook groups. So please give us a hand by sharing our or your favorite episode on a Facebook group, and that will get us to 1,000. We want to get to 1,000 really soon. We're going to start doing a live show again. We're going to start doing more content. We get to that 1,000 subscribers, and YouTube will start stepping up their game. That's enough self-promoting. That's enough begging. This isn't PBS. Mm-hmm. We're not begging for money. We're not begging for people
pandering.
You don't have to spend pandering money on a club or something. Should we do that? Should we do one of those like clubs, like a Bid Nerds club, like a Patreon thing where you
Patreon? Absolutely.
Would you guys be down for
swag?
That? Just, you know, a few bucks a month, and we'll give you a t-shirt and stuff like that. And that would really help us, you know, promote that, give us a couple of bucks to we would spend all any money that we got from that would just go into promoting the show. Yeah. We're not looking to get rich off this. We both of us make money doing what we do, in our normal lives. So we just love making this content for you guys. So really, thank you guys so much. All right, I'll shut up. Let's get to the most interesting car of the day on the our least favorite platform, the sketchy dudes over at P-Car Market. They've been bringing some big results lately. And recently on a GT2, they brought really big money. What do we got here, Michael D? What's going on?
Another GT2, JP. It's at P-Car Market, your GT2 superstore. Looks like we're having a little video. We missed the GT2. But anyways, this car is bitching, John. 2008 997 generation GT2 in a very rare, possibly one of the only ones in this color, midnight blue metallic, showing just 19,000 original miles out of Woodbury, New York. The car looks really cool. Seems to be owned by someone who's very involved in the P Club or P Car, what do they call it? PCA or something. Did a lot of this was his personal car, and when he got the car had a bunch of modifications on there. So he took a lot of the mods off to bring the car back to stock as he brings it to market to sell. But he took off, you know, a litany of, you know, aftermarket turbos and intercoolers and exhaust system and all that sort of thing. But the car looks to be in really good condition. It's showing super low miles. And let me just turn this thing off. I apologize. I'm getting a phone call while we're doing the middle of the show. But the car looks to be really nice. It's back down to stock. There is some question as to whether or not this car will pass smog because of the exhaust system that is on there. The system that's, while the headers are off the car, the stock headers are put back on, but the rest of the exhaust is aftermarket. So I think there'd be a little bit of question learning about that. The other thing that I thought was really interesting is that the seller included a DME report. On 997, John, the DME report goes through six different stages to read the DME. What's amazing is how many thousands of over revs this car has had in every zone except zone six. Zone six is the only one that shows zero. But let me just read this to you, John, because this will make you laugh. So in zone one, 65,000 over revs. In zone two, 42,000 over revs. In zone three, 23,000 over revs. In zone four, 10,000. In zone five, 400. And zone six, zero. So this car has been driven. But
it was shifted, it was over rev. Did Rami own this car? I don't remember Rami having a
65,000 in zone one. I mean, that is every single time. That is just unbelievable. So somebody has had some fun with this car. But if that stuff doesn't bother you, this is your car. And believe it or not, it's already at a pretty high number. So JP, I send it back to you. Midnight blue. I know you love black, but would you live with a midnight blue car, or are you just one of these, like, that's not the right color and you would just hate on it? And then do the overrevs bother you, that many overrevs, or do you just say, hey man, this is a racing engine, it's a Metzger engine, who cares? Because some people, they see one overrev and they're like, oh, the car's not been driven correctly. And some Porsche people are so effing weird. But this car really has been driven. So what do you think about all that, John? Give me your opinion. I'm curious to know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I don't care about the over revs on this. You know, this just goes to show you that all of that is such nonsense. The little pleated pants ninnies that pour over the DME reports are the people that will never drive the car. It's like, who cares? You're not going to drive it. It doesn't matter if it even runs. You're going to drive it to the Porsche Club breakfast with a bunch of octogenarians. You're not going to ever get the... It's like, shut up about your overrevs. Now, this one does seem a bit excessive. And I think it will affect the value. And that is something real that you will have to consider long term. If you're buying this car as an investment or whatever, okay, that's always going to be something like an accident on a Carfax. It may not destroy the value completely, but it's definitely going to limit it in some regard. For someone who wants to buy this car and drive it and love it, that's great. It could be an opportunity to get a car like this that's very difficult to find at a price that's not completely ridiculous, because the nice ones are just going for so much money. I am more concerned about the fact that it was super modded before, and we don't really know exactly how, and we don't have, like, more. I would love to see pictures of it when it was modded and exactly what it had on it and what it had removed, because they had different turbos and different, I mean, there's, you can get, you know, 1200 horsepower out of one of these.
The list of modifications was really scary. Yeah, the list of things they took off this car was pretty extensive, and it had, they called it a Blitzkrieg turbo system, and it was making like 700 horsepower. So this car was really stressed out and driven like crazy. The other thing, and I'm going to put this out to the nerd herd. So I had a 2010 GT3 that I ordered, and when I ordered that car, I ordered it with racing buckets, and I was under the impression, and I might be wrong on this, that in 2010, on my 7.2 GT3, that was the first time a racing bucket was available on a passenger car by Porsche in this country. This car being a 2008 with the exact same seats, I think is incorrect. I think those seats are a modification as well, that this car came with adaptive sports seats from the factory. And that anytime you see racing buckets in a standard 997.1 GT2, somebody retrofitted those to the car. So I'm guessing this car did a lot of track duty, maybe not with its current custodian, but certainly with the guy before them. And like I said, they spent a ton of money to get like 700 and something horsepower out of this car. And what I can tell you, JP, is this. If you're at 700 or 775, the mechanical grip and the aero that are on this car are not designed to handle that kind of horsepower and certainly not that kind of torque. It actually makes this light car almost flipping undrivable, and it's excessive. I think at 530 horsepower with like 500 pound foot of torque, which is what a normal GT2 would make, it's already unbelievably tail happy and powerful and fast. Like how is that not enough, you know? And again, I know there's Ramis out there that are like, Deeb, what are you talking about? That's sacrilege. But for me, when I get in a Porsche, I like to be able to go fast, stop, and turn the car and carry a lot of speed. These are the ultimate sports cars. And if I need a drag racing car, I don't need to spend $200,000 on a GT2. I can just go get something that Dodge makes. So putting 700 horsepower into this car and having something that'll spin the tires and swap ends just doesn't do it for me at all. Anyway, that's my two cents. I'll get off my soapbox.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I'm surprised to hear that from you because, I mean, look, I drove Rami's GT2
RS.
Right. And I was kind of noticing those seats going, yeah, those were in the RS, but I don't remember them being in the just regular GT2.
It's funny I don't think they're correct.
That you could say the phrase regular GT2. There's almost no such thing as regular anything when you're talking about GT2s. But yeah, these seats I don't believe are correct either. But they are fantastic seats. They're worth like 15 grand alone. Just, you know, and they are the seats that you want in that car.
True.
The GT2 RS had, you know, somewhere in that 700 plus horsepower range. And it was terrifying. But Deeb, what are you talking? That car with the power, that thing handled amazingly. Yes, you had to be careful because it did have the extra power, but oh my God, that was one of the more capable, terrifying cars I've ever driven in my entire life. And I did get to drive that back-to-back with a 991 GT2 RS. And those are super, you know, those are amazingly fast, but they don't feel like they're going to kill you. In fact, the opposite, they kind of...
So the 991, just it's a different platform and different suspension setup. That car handled its 700 horsepower and did it in a way that was just like you'd have to rewire your brain as to what was physically possible behind the wheel of a car. But these early 997s, you start putting that much torque in them and they're just spinning the tires everywhere.
That's just not true. I didn't experience that. I mean, yes, you could lay rubber all day long if you wanted to, but in the GT2 RS, that was unbelievably usable. Crazy fast, scary,
Rami's
power.
Rami's 7.2 RS was like 600 horsepower, right?
More, I think. Yeah, it was probably somewhere in that range. I mean,
I think it was like right around.
I
think it was right around 600. Again, this guy's talking about 775, and I'm just saying that you can get to a point where, for me, and again, it's not for everybody. Some people like that. I just don't. I want to be able to. What I love about a GT3 is that you could be in a turn and open it up, and the car would rev and rev and rev. If you were in the middle of the turn and you got overzealous and you floored it, there wasn't so much torque that you would just put your rear end into the outside wall. And I'm just saying the way they modified this car, they built something that could have done that. I'm not saying it happened to this car, but I just think at that point, the car stops being fun and winds up being you worry too much that you could overdo it and get yourself in trouble.
That's just I don't know. If you actually drove it, and that with the characteristics, I don't know how the suspension was set up, but that's just not the case. I mean, yes, it had a lot of power in the corners, but just like any other GT3 or any other car, you just got to know how to drive the darn thing. It's not undrivable. I've driven 997s with 1,100 horsepower, and if it's if it's done right, it's usable power. You know, in the olden days when you would take a car and put all that kind of power, it just ripped the tires off like a belt sounder. But, I mean, you could drive my friend Alex Raphael in Seattle, up in Bremerton, he has a shop called Max RPM. And he does 1,100 horsepower 996 conversions that are just unreal, right? But driving it around, it feels like a regular 996 just driving around. Until you really start getting on it. So you can use it if you want it, or don't. And I just, yes, it is something that takes a lot of skill to drive at 11 tenths, but I don't know. I think that you're right that any 911 with too much power can get you in trouble, but I don't know if there really is such thing as a too modern 911 with too much power, unless it was done poorly, which we don't know about this car. So back to this car, that's what makes this car kind of like, we just don't know enough about this car. And the thing that I want to know is, why did they bother putting it back to stock? Do they really think they're going to get more money being in stock configuration now that everyone knows it's already been, like, usually if you want to bring something back to stock, it's kind of like, frankly, to hide the fact that it was mudded. But here it's out in the open. We all know that it used to be a monster, and now it's like, and we know about the over revs. We know it was over revved with big, huge, extra huge turbos on it. So how much more potential? I don't know. I just don't get it. They should have just left it at a hot rotted monster GT2 and, because I would have paid for, if I were in the market for something, I would pay for something like that. I would want all that extra stuff.
Man, yeah, I don't know. Nuts. And he lists all the stuff he took off the car, and it's a ton of stuff. The other thing, he didn't really specify if he's including all the stuff in the sale, which is interesting. I imagine he'd probably just sell all that stuff and make 10 grand off it in the secondary market. Yeah. In either case, JP, our car closes in a couple of days from now, and it's already at $155,500. On 13 bids. I think that this car, if it wasn't previously modified and it didn't have all those over revs, just a sub 20,000 mile GT2 with stock seats and stock everything in a rare color like midnight blue metallic, I think that would be $250,000 car, if not higher. But I think this car is going to peter out closer to $200,000. So I'm going to give it to you at 200 grand on P car market. John, where are you at?
Yeah, I mean, we just saw that really nice silver one that had fewer miles and was with basically pristine, bone stock with no question marks here and no thousands of over revs. And that one did what, 201 was it?
201, like that? Exactly.
Yeah, just barely broke 200. So I think this has to stall out. I mean, the color is definitely neat. The fact that it has $15,000 seats, okay, that's cool. But those over revs and the big old question mark to how this car was treated in the past and literally twice as many miles, I'm going to say it peters out at $185,000. I think that's a hell of a lot of car for $185,000. And if I were in the market, I would buy this car. I wouldn't be scared of all those things. I'd be like, heck yeah, this is going to be awesome. I would just see if I could buy all the stuff back from the guy, if he still has it, and put it all back on. What do you guys think? What's going to happen with this crazy GT2? Is there such thing as too much power in a 911, or is it just rubbish that you can never have enough snails back there? Just keep going. Let's find out right after this. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Godin, this guy.
1989 linen gray metallic G50 cab.
Is that gonna be for sale?
It is gonna be for sale. The car only has 65,000 miles.
Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas.
If you love watching car videos on YouTube, you got to check out my channel, The Rally Show.
Oh, this car. I am driving a 2020 Lamborghini SVJ.
Of course he is, because that's what Robbie does. Drives crazy cars in the desert, and we make films about it, and you can check out those films on The Rami Show. Please go over there and check out one of our sister channels, The Rami Show. We have a lot of fun over there. And thank you so much for hanging out and sticking around for the results of this GT2 over on our favorite platform, the P Car Market. Dumpster fire that thing happens to be on a regular basis. Michael Deeb, what happened with this GT2 results?
So listen, we're known for being particularly critical of P-Car market, and this auction, like this lot for this GT2 is no exception. So just to review, it's a 19,000 mile 997 GT2, which is great. But if you remember, this car's got had modifications all over, like different turbos and intercoolers and all that stuff. It's got steel brakes instead of the correct ceramics that it came with. And the DME report, which measures over revs and how long the engine ran in the over rev range, looks like a Christmas tree because it's just lit up thousands of over revs. So with all of that taken into consideration, I thought that this car would go for $200,000. I think it's a $200,000 example. Despite the low miles, this car has been treated rough. The evidence is there. It's not speculation. JP, you took the under and said $185,000. The audience on P Car Market agreed with us. So the high bid was $212,000, and then they got two offers after $212,000 where the car failed to sell on 40 bids. The car then now resides in the deal tank for $299,000. They have received two offers since all of this took place. So from 212, the next offer was $213,000. And the offer that came in after that is $215,000. So the current offer on the car stands at 215 grand, and yet it remains in the deal tank for $299,000. Would somebody please tell the owner of this car, your car is not worth that. You're off by 100 grand. I don't care what you paid for it. Based on the history of this car and as it sits with the wrong brakes, and they couldn't tell you if the exhaust was stock. They said they weren't sure it would pass a smog. Like this whole platform or this whole lot, the way it was brought to the platform, is an ish show. It's really badly done. And that's a shame because it's a very special car and it's in a rather rare colorway. This car should have done well. But like, P Car Market's not realistic about what the car is going to go for, and the consigner is not realistic, and nobody, they're not, the right hand and left hand aren't communicating, and stuff like this is like nails on a chalkboard to me, JP. It's like, good God, like somebody just tell the guy, like, get off your horse. This is not a $300,000 car. This car is never going to sell for that. And the 212, the 213, and 215, those are all legitimate offers. That is well within the range of what John and I were talking about. That's what this car is worth. So it's a complete whiff. And it's laughable at this point. You guys have been doing this for years now. And yet they somehow they haven't figured it out. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what it is. Look, this is P Car Market 101 right here. They'll take anything. They'll waste everyone's time. Whatever this idiot seller, wanted for the reserve, you know, the P Car Market guys tried to get them down on it because, you know, they're grinders. They know what these cars are actually worth. So they probably ground them a little bit, but only so much. They're not going to grind them so much to scare the guy away. They want the car on the platform. They want it to be listed for sale because they know that as the bids come in and when the auction gets to the end, that's when they're going to be able to apply pressure and do their used car salesman-y thing and pit that, you know, they do that whole thing. It's kind of like good cop, bad cop. You know, when the cops bring in the somebody burns a dumpster in the alley and they find out a couple of teenagers did it. So they round up both teenagers. They put one teenager in one room and the other teenager in another room. And they go to the first guy and the first kid and they say, you know, we'll let you off if you testify against your buddy. He's ready to testify against you. You know, and they pit one another against each other. It's just so old school, grimy, and gross that they would let 40 bids happen. That they would let all this complete waste of time. P Car Market knew how unrealistic this seller was.
Absolutely.
And instead of saying to the seller, you know what? Thanks for giving us an opportunity, but we just think your expectations are too unrealistic. Hence, this is only going to end badly. This is going to be a bad experience for the seller and all the people who want to buy this car potentially and all the people that are going to waste their time on the platform trying to buy. There's 40 bids. A bunch of people were trying to spend $200,000 on a car, and which is a reasonable amount of money to bid on something like this car that has so many problems. I'm shocked that P Car Market was able to bring this much money to the table. But this is full-blown P Car Market's fault. They wasted everyone everyone's time, as they always do. P-Car Market is such an ish show. They're the ones that are setting dumpsters on fire, not in an alley. They're not a couple of dippy teenagers that are doing stuff just because they're just wasting people's time. I am so sick of P-Car Market and their shenanigans. Why does anybody bid on their platform?
And the other thing too, John, is by not doing this, right? Like, this car doesn't stand a chance of selling based on where the bids are at and what they're looking for the car at the moment. But now this guy has burned his car. Like, he can go try and take it to BAT, but like, BAT will light him up for that DME report. Yep. The community will. And they'll also light him up for failing to sell and having an unrealistic, like, you know, as a reserve auction on BAT, everybody's gonna be like, well, this guy wants 300 grand for the car, so don't bother bidding on it because you're never gonna get it, because it's already proven that's what he wants for the car as it's sitting in the deal tank. He's just burning the car. I don't think he'll be able to sell this car for this year unless he comes way off his price and maybe way off the value of it. Because again, the value seems to be right around 200 grand, but he might struggle to sell it for 200 grand later once this car times out of the deal tank. So it's just, like, you're actually doing harm to the consignor, and it's just, you got to be honest up front.
To everyone involved.
Yeah.
P-Car Market botched this from the get-go because they thought that they'd be able to apply enough pressure on the guy P-Car Market knew this thing wasn't getting anywhere near $300,000. They knew that. No. Of course they know that.
No.
They knew that. So when this thing, they also knew that, okay, it's going to get around to something. And at that point, then we can start, having a come to Jesus moment with the seller. And that just wasn't going to happen. And they should have known better. They wait, this is a slot that someone realistic could have, here's the thing I want to know. Here's what and I'd like to hear this from the people who actually bid on this car, particularly the high bidders. So did the high bidder get charged a premium for winning? Did they hold the buyer's premium for the highest bid until they confirmed that the car wasn't sold? And then when you make an offer in the deal tank, do they charge you a seller's or a buyer's premium at that point? Does that happen? Does anybody know? I don't know.
I think what they do is
they do.
They borrow your money and then they go to Atlantic City with it for the weekend. and if they do well, you get your money back. If they don't do well, sorry.
They're boomers, so they're not speculating in crypto or anything like that. They don't understand any of that kind of stuff. But P-Car Market, shady as always, stupid result. This whole thing is stupid. Bad. There's no other way to describe everyone involved other than the poor bidders are just stupid.
This is a really badly handled lot. It's a shake my head. I'm kind of glad we watched it because this is a mess. It's a soup sandwich. It doesn't work.
Yeah. The funny thing is that before the break, like, I had it in my head that it was a 996 GT2, so I underbid. I probably would have taken, $1,000 over your bid if I wasn't such a stupid idiot and thinking that it was a 996. Our commercial makes fun of people who know the difference between a 996 and a 997. And in this bid, I'm like, oh, it's a 996, because I was thinking about the other one that didn't make 200. I don't know, whatever, so silly. But what do you guys think of the results?
I should have brought a shotgun, which would have reminded you, yeah. And then
I guess I'm not a nerd.
Thanks for reminding me. I just want to remind you that I won this one. Even though it was a mess, I still won this one.
You won them all. All right, there it is, guys. Don't listen to JP. Everyone who watches this show already knows that. We will see you guys tomorrow.
Nerd! Get those nerds!